It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Marsha Plaknik belongs to a small Jewish congregation in Bluefield, and she welcomes seeing young students from Concord University.
It lights up the temple. It brings back the old years when we had a lot of young children in the Sunday school. It gives us a purpose to keep going.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. The deadline to sign up for health care through the Federal Exchange or Medicaid coverage in West Virginia is swiftly approaching. By Monday, West Virginians must have at least have their online applications started in order to gain access to coverage and avoid paying penalty fees to the IRS. But Ashton Mara wanted to know, how difficult is it to sign up for a health care plan? She visited an in-person assister to help her navigate the process and files this report.
I apologize.
Hello? Is she here or on the phone? Can you take a message and I'll call her back?
I met Michelle Bays at her office in East Huntington. She's a certified application counselor for Valley Health, hired to help people navigate the complex federal health care exchange and state Medicaid application in order to meet the deadline, a deadline that's quickly approaching.
Unfortunately, the deadline's the 31st.
The 31st. That's this coming Monday. But the federal government has recently extended that deadline in a way, giving individuals who have at least signed up for an account and begun the process until April 15th to complete their applications and choose a new health plan. Michelle says plenty of people are rushing to meet that deadline. She's seen an uptick in the number of people in her office in the past week and had to deal with longer wait times when she calls the federal call center. So I asked Michelle to do what she does for those seeking coverage. Show me the process. Help me fill out an application. But here's where I'll throw out a disclaimer. I'm a state employee. I have a qualified health plan and don't need insurance. But still, I wanted to know, what options are out there for someone like me, the ideal candidate for the federal government? 24 years old, no chronic illnesses or pre-existing conditions. I am the person they want to sign up through the exchange. So I gave Michelle my information. A few keystrokes later, I had an account and we started.
Date of birth.
03/21/1990.
Social?
Well, that one I probably shouldn't share on the radio. But Michelle says when you go to visit a navigator or sign up on your own, all you need is some basic information. The number of people in your household, along with their birth dates and social security numbers. A pay stub or a W-2 to verify your household income. Possibly a form from your employer if they offer insurance and you're opting out. None of this, Michelle says, should intimidate you.
Yes, it's very minimal. It's very easy.
So easy, she successfully walked 300 people through the process since October. But Michelle was walking me through the federal health care exchange. In West Virginia, just fewer than 15,000 people have used the website, call center, or in-person assisters to gain coverage. That's pretty low compared to many other states. The real story in West Virginia is Medicaid expansion.
So as of last Friday, we have 101,803 individuals enrolled in the Medicaid expansion.
That's Jeremiah Samples, assistant to the Secretary of the State Department of Health and Human Resources. It's his job to keep track of those numbers, which well exceed the 60-some thousand estimate actuaries thought would sign up for Medicaid through the state expansion. In order to get those numbers, Samples says the state took an auto-enrollment approach, sending out letters to people on food stamps or whose children already qualify for Medicaid, among other assistance programs. The letters basically said, according to the information the state has on your income, you are now eligible for Medicaid, and asked them to check a box to agree to be signed up. Simple, easy, streamlined, as Samples put it, avoiding the technological issues they knew would arise.
It was anticipated that there were going to be some issues that would come up with the technology. This was all rushed to production, and there was not a lot of testing, especially on the federal side. They failed to test major systems leading up to the enrollment or the coverage enrollment process, open enrollment process. And as a result, we knew that there was going to be a high risk there. And so when we did this, it was with that in mind.
Sample says the state has enrolled 77% of the population they estimate is eligible for Medicaid. He says that's a great success for the state. Perry Bryant, on the other hand, says the state could have done more.
Well, it's been a very mixed bag for West Virginia.
Bryant is the executive director of the advocacy group West Virginians for Affordable Health Care, and he agrees the Medicaid numbers are great for the state. But he says when the governor's office chose to partner with the federal government on the exchange, they chose to leave the advertising up to them as well, leaving federal dollars on the table that could have been used for television or radio ads. That hurt the exchange numbers, Bryant says.
We've been handicapped in that effort, but still there have been a lot of people who have been engaged. There have been a lot of personal assistance. There just hasn't been the media campaign, and you really need the combination of the two. And so we've been fighting this battle with one arm behind our back.
But as the deadline inches closer, he thinks the numbers will improve. After all, 6 million Americans have already signed up. Michelle, our Huntington-based assister, agrees. She thinks those numbers will grow as long as people take a look at the options for themselves.
You need to apply on your own and get an idea for yourself as to whether or not this is affordable. Don't listen to someone else's opinion, because it can be totally different for that individual. And I'm afraid a lot of people may say, you know, I'm going to take the penalty just because of something that they've heard from a neighbor.
As for me, I had 13 options, with monthly premiums ranging from $175 to almost $300. Pretty decent, since West Virginia has only one insurance provider signed up in the marketplace. But Bryant says the options are better for many West Virginians out there whose life stats are different than mine, for people who are married, have kids, or have medical conditions that prevented them from getting coverage before. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This morning, we conclude our series on West Virginia's Jewish community with a story of hope at Congregation Ahovoth Shalom in Bluefield. As Jessica Lilly reports, the enthusiasm of youth is bringing a new energy to the older congregation, even if it may be short-lived.
It's really important to me to, you know, keep true to my faith.
Attending Sabbath services on Fridays and celebrating the high holy days of the Jewish faith is a way of life for Concord University baseball player Joseph Camp.
It was a very big part for me, because being back home, I go to services every Friday night. I have a very religious family. So being able to come here and find such a welcoming place, it was absolutely huge for me.
When Camp decided to make the move from Maryland to West Virginia to attend college, the dining hall and dorms weren't the only amenities he was interested in. Finding a welcoming place to practice his Jewish faith was a priority. He found that welcoming place at the Congregation Ahovoth Shalom Bluefield Synagogue.
A lot different, really. The congregation there is older than it is back home. It's a lot smaller, too. But one of the things that I liked about the smaller congregation was that everyone knows each other. And everyone asks, you know, how's your week been and everything like that. So it's great being able to experience both a large congregation and a small congregation.
As its website says, Congregation Ahovoth Shalom has served the spiritual needs of the Jewish community of southern West Virginia and Appalachia for over a century. Marcia Platnick has attended services at the Bluefield Temple since 1967.
When I first came here, it was fairly large. We might have 60 people at a festive occasion. Now we have 18 families and no children.
Like Temple Beth El in Beckley, Bluefield is experiencing a shrinking congregation. It's also limited to biweekly or sometimes monthly services. Platnick says there have been some times when congregants have led services and read from the Torah, something she says is rare in the Jewish faith.
We felt if people were out of the habit of going to services that maybe the attendance would drop. We wanted people to know that if they felt the need to pray, that we were always open.
When Jewish students like Camp reached out to the congregation with interest in attending services for high holy days such as Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, the congregation welcomed them with open arms.
You know, we really don't know many other Jewish kids around here, but when we go there, it's just, you feel like you're part of a family. So it's a great feeling.
Sonia Whitfield is one of the co-presidents at the Bluefield Temple. Whitfield even provided transportation for an International Concord student to help with the commute from Athens to Bluefield.
What's incredible about that is here's a young man away from his home, away from his family, in a strange land, but yet he still wants to come and be with his Jewish family.
Whitfield says the student situation is similar to the small congregation and even reminiscent of the Book of Numbers in the Torah, or what Christians refer to as the Old Testament, when the Jews spent 40 years in the desert.
I think there's some identification there because simply when you're alone, you know, you really feel alone. And when you can be together in a group of people that have the like mindset and like beliefs, then, you know, you feel like you're part of your family, you know, and that's really important, especially when you're far away from your own family. And actually, at the end of the day, you can just look at it as a mitzvah, and that a mitzvah is just a good deed. So if you see somebody who needs help with something, we're supposed to help.
In fact, when Whitfield learned that the few Jewish students would likely miss the Seder, a dinner reserved for the first day of the Jewish holiday, Passover, she decided to host a special service. Joseph Camp was excited to get the news.
I was very excited, especially because the original service that they were having was during the time that we had a game. So I was really upset about that. Wasn't sure, you know, should I miss the game to go to Passover services, or do I miss the Passover services? But with Sonia getting together and getting this student service together, I'm very excited.
For Camp, finding the congregation small or not was encouraging.
It's exciting to see other people who are just like me. Really, it's not disconcerting, really, at all. Because West Virginia isn't really known for having a large Jewish population, whereas back home, it's a pretty large population, but it's exciting, really, more than anything else, to have other people like that in my life.
With or without a rabbi, at home or traveling to another synagogue, longtime member Marcia Platnick also holds tight to her faith. Like most Jews, Platnick says it's deeply rooted with her traditions and life. Helping students is just another way to live by the golden rule.
If it were my children in college, I would be very thankful if someone reached out to them. So we just think of them as part of our family, like we're their grandparents, and we include them in everything.
Platnick also points out that reaching out to the students isn't just providing a service. Jewish tradition requires 10 adults to recite certain prayers, and Concord students help to fill those needed spaces. Platnick says Camp and the other students bring new hope, even if for a limited time.
It's very sad to see people moving away. We know eventually the congregation will have to close the building. So it is really exciting when the students from Concord come in and we have some youth in our congregation again. It lights up the temple. It brings back the old years when we had a lot of young children in the Sunday school. It gives us a purpose to keep going.
Camp is a redshirted sophomore on the baseball team who plans to continue attending services while he's living in the area. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:43. Rain, possibly some thunderstorms in our forecast today. Temperatures will be in the 50s and 60s. Rain continues tonight and into tomorrow. For tomorrow, highs will be in the 40s and 50s. Saturday night, overnight, a mix of rain and snow with lows in the 20s and 30s. Sunshine on Sunday with temperatures reaching the 50s and 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Stewart's Opera House, presenting the Nelsonville Music Festival May 29th through June 1st in Nelsonville, Ohio, with the Avid Brothers, The Head and the Heart, and more. NelsonvilleFest.org.
Holly Williams performs Drinkin' on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
The night is young. Why are you screaming like I don't have ears? Hey, why are you screaming like I don't have ears? Baby, I can hear you loud and clear. So why are you screaming like I don't have ears?
Holly Williams with Drinkin'. You can hear this song again and more music on Mountain Stage Sunday afternoon at 2, right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.
Our series on the Jewish community is in tandem with the story of the Jews by Simon Shama, March 25th and April 1st at 8 p.m. on West Virginia PBS. Funding is made possible by the Paul and Irma Milstein family, the Polonsky Foundation, the Pershing Square Foundation, the Joseph S. and Diane H. Steinberg Charitable Trust, James and Merrill Teesch, Mortimer B. Zuckerman, the David Berg Foundation, Daniel and Joanna S. Rose, and the Lindbergh Foundation. Support is also provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS. For more information, visit pbs.org/storyofthejews.